Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news as United face uncertainty around Bruno Fernandes again. Bruno makes a demand on a player that might make him stay. Also, Sir Jim Ratcliffe is looking to raise £100 million in sales this summer. Is that realistic? And I want to start off with Ineos's biggest mistake, which has been exposed again. Happy Easter to everybody who is celebrating it. But look, Arsenal got knocked out last night in the FA Cup. There's a bit of a meltdown. I just recorded a video on That's Football. It'll go out after this. But you know what? This exposes Man United's biggest issue. And I am so tired of this fan base arguing over irrelevant points between each other instead of actually looking at what is happening at the football club on a regular basis. So you'll get, you know, you're not a real fan if you don't want Carrick. Oh, if you want to sell Bruno, you're not a real fan. You know, all this, you know, top red nonsense about what makes you a real fan. And nobody actually ever discusses the big things like knocking Old Trafford down, you lot paying your increased ticket prices to help the bloody debt. But the biggest thing that probably resonates in relation to football is United's continued ignorance of the January transfer window. And it has been exposed again in what happened last night with Arsenal. And it is something that some intelligent people in our fan base are starting to figure out very, very quickly, that this summer transfer window is not going to be sufficient. You've got people like Rio Fairyland saying stuff like four transfers will be realistic. Four transfers won't touch the sides, mate. It won't. I'd challenge Rio and say, how are four transfers going to make us get back into the Premier League's top five next season and compete in the Champions League? It's not going to work. It's just not going to work, mate. It really isn't going to work. We need about eight signings to give ourselves a fair chance of competing on all levels next season. Otherwise, this time next year, we're going to find ourselves somewhere around where Newcastle are very, 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 very quickly. Because looking at Arsenal last night, losing to Southampton in the quarterfinal of the FA Cup. Very happy about it because it means no treble. So we maintain that. But the big thing for me is this just shows how stupid, I underline the word stupid, this football club is to continually ignore the January transfer window. And I'll tell you why. Arsenal have a very good squad, but they're running on empty in April. Liverpool and Chelsea have been running on empty for weeks. Newcastle have been running on empty for weeks. There's only one club that's actually not running on empty, and that's Manchester City. Now, what did Manchester City do last season to end the season well? Oh, they went and bought three or four players in January, didn't they? And what have Man City gone and done to end the season well again? Oh, they went and spent over £100 million on two top-class players, didn't they? There is a running theme here that people criticise Man City and their 115 charges, but you know the irony is, for all that money that they spend, that apparently they're not allowed to spend, they're the only club in the modern game that can actually end the season well. They're the only club that actually goes and spends money in January every season now, and they're the only club that actually looks like they've got momentum when it hits April. And isn't that such an irony to the Premier League and their rules that they don't want clubs to spend beyond their means, but the one that apparently has is the only one that actually makes a fist of it in the last few weeks of the season because they've actually got a squad. Even Arsenal, which has an incredible squad, they're running on empty because it's a long, hard season. So look, you can moan about who the manager can be. You can moan about who the midfield's going to be. And they're very, very relevant points. But this football club has and will continue to make extraordinarily stupid mistakes because it will not look at the January transfer window in the way that we're going to need to, or the summer transfer window. It's never about volume. It's never about quantity. It's always about the Excel spreadsheet. And we didn't necessarily need to spend this January. I'll take that on board, but we should have done. We should have done. And, you know, somebody in the chat said, we didn't need anyone. Look, we're third in the league. It was never about that. If we'd have bought a midfielder or a winger or a left back in January, you don't need to buy them in the summer. You actually make your life better. You bring a player in January who gets used to the team, and then you don't have to do that deal in the summer, which gives you more time to do other deals. And we ignore it every year. And I'm telling you now, look, Man City are not in the Champions League because Real Madrid were better than them. That's fair enough. But when you look at Manchester City in the Cups And in the Premier League at the moment, they're the only team that looks revved up, motivated, and like they're going to finish the season strong. Arsenal, Liverpool, Chelsea, they're all struggling. Even Arsenal, with that squad, they're starting to struggle. So what we have to do this summer transfer window is get volume as well as quality in. And, I don't know why this isn't, you know, numero one when it comes to United conversation in our fan base, because we'd moan about the wrong things. And the reality is we have an ownership that refuses to use one of the two transfer windows that we get every year and refuses to acknowledge that they need volume and not just quantity. And if we do not buy more than six players this summer, I think we are going to struggle massively next year. I can already envision the future of next March where we're in a reasonably good position, but you've got whoever the manager is coming out saying, this player's out, this player's out, this player's tired, this player's out, this player's out. I think it's going to be a massive, massive issue. EJ says, do you think the season's too long? I genuinely cannot believe I'm going to say this, but I've thought it for a few weeks. I actually think that what Man City are getting charged with actually is probably wrong in the modern game. What they did 10 years ago, and let's not forget, they did it between 2008 and 2018, so those charges are relevant. But in 2026, I actually think most teams, if they want to be successful in all the competitions they've got to enter, you need a squad of 20 good players. Like 20 good players you need now. And to carry that, you need money. And these financial fair play bollocks and PSR is just a load of rubbish. They're trying to make a fair level playing field. But if you're Brentford and you're Manchester City could be playing another 20 games more than you. You're going to need more money. You're going to need more of a budget. I mean, look, I've not changed the game. You've not changed the game. The reality is the Champions League is heading towards 15 to 20 games more a season if you're successful. And yet the Premier League are going, well, you've got to be fair. You know, we don't want your budgets running away too far from Burnley. Well, hold on a minute. I'm playing nearly 20 games extra. And I can't carry that squad. I can't carry Burnley's squad. I need two first teams. And to do that, I need massive money. And then you're restricting me on what I can spend. So I'm not making excuses yet at United Red Devil 7, because you're a bit of a moron, to be honest, because you didn't listen to what I said. What Man City did between 2008 and 2018 is what they're actually being investigated for. And if you're not intelligent enough to actually know what they're being investigated for, that's fine. But I did say that. But 8 years on from that investigation period in 2026, tell me you don't need two teams now to be successful in all the tournaments you have to enter. And then the Premier League and FIFA and UEFA have got these limitations on what you can spend, yet they want you to play more and more games. Something's got to give. You cannot compete in the Premier League and the Champions League under the current financial rules, because they're too limiting. But what they're doing is they're going, yeah, well, we don't want you to run away from Brentford and Everton. Well, why are you giving us so many more games than them then? Like, you need a big squad these days, not just a good first 11. And United are going to find that out big time next season if we don't put our hand in our pocket and start spending money. But look, let me get into some of the main stuff I wanted to talk about this morning. I suppose that's just you are a moron, United Red Devil. You are a moron. You didn't listen and you don't understand. So you are a moron. I'm sorry. Brett Dowell, thanks for being a member for 41 months. Appreciate you. United is the most short-term, long-term project I've ever seen, says Emily Derry. They are unable to truly think strategically because they can't or don't see the forest from the trees. Well, Emily, look, I don't know whether the ownership are just thick or manipulative, but they certainly do not have a clue when it comes to how to making this football club successful at all. And that's the sort of comment we want, United's Red Devil. The sort of stuff you get from Emily, which is absolutely spot on. I'm excited about the summer. I'm excited to see what we're going to do with the manager situation, but they are short-term views. The long-term is there staring us in the face. Look at Liverpool. Look at Chelsea. Look at Arsenal last night. look at Newcastle, varying levels of teams that are running out of juice at the most important stage of the season. And we'll look at Man City, spend in January for the second year in a row, and for the second year in a row, they're finishing the season stronger than everybody else. I know they got knocked out of the Champions League, but they've just won the Carabao Cup. They're going to win the FA Cup, and they're going to push Arsenal for the league because they've got momentum, energy, because they spent in January. And everybody who didn't is now struggling. And that is abundantly clear. And if you want to defend the Glazers and Ineos this morning because you think that not spending in January is not moronic, then that's up to you. But I'm going to stick with the word moron. If you don't think that we need to buy players more than we are and you don't think we need to spend money in January, I think that's the definition of a moron. Sorry, but sometimes you've got to say what you think, and that's what this community should be about. Instead of Carrick, we should go for Fabregas since Ineos are not looking for world class, says Icon. But look, you know what? Let me start off. Let me move on. Bruno Fernandes. Now, apparently, Bruno Fernandes wants Manchester United to sign another Fernandes from West Ham. We'll talk about him in a moment. But more and more, the rumour mill is turning around a Bruno Fernandes exit from Manchester United. So where are we at with that this morning? Well, it's interesting. I was on, I was looking at a poll yesterday. I forget where it was. It was online. It was some, I don't know, let's pretend it was like some mainstream outlet. And it was, but it was who should win Player of the Year. And Bruno Fernandes won by a lot, long way on percentage. I don't know who else wins Player of the Year other than Declan Rice. And he might get it because Arsenal might win the league, but Arsenal are wobbling at the moment. I think Bruno Fernandes is in the ascendancy. He's just won Premier League Player of the Month. He's up for Player of the Year. He's had a fantastic season. He has a release clause of £55 million. He will not make a decision on his future until after the World Cup, which is mid-July. And there are now rumours that big European clubs might take a punt on him at that price. United are in a bit of a difficult situation now because Bruno Fernandes is not just this niche Man United player that does brilliant for us and no one else has realised it. Bruno Fernandes is now probably the best number 10 in Europe. Name a better one. He probably is the best number 10 in Europe, and his numbers and output are incredible, but also his availability as well. And he's not a player that is dependent on pace. So you could look at Bruno Fernandes if you're PSG or Bayern Munich or even Real Madrid and go, he will give us three, maybe four, really good seasons at the highest level in the Champions League and our domestic league. And his release clause is £55 million. In the modern game, I fear, and I think United are starting to fear, it's not just Saudi now. This could well be a problem. And I don't know why Man United stuck a bloody release clause in it anyway. I mean, talk about morons. I still do not know why we gave him a pay rise from 250 grand a week to 300 grand a week and also stuck a release clause in there, considering his previous contract did not run out for another 2 years on 250 grand a week and didn't have a release clause in it. Why did we give him a pay rise and a bloody release clause? I just do not know what that's all about, because I have a fear, and I think United have that fear now, that £55 million for Bruno Fernandes, although he's going to be 31 or 32, I think he's going to be 32 soon, it might put people off. But you look at people like Modric, who are still playing at a high level in their late 30s, Bruno Fernandes, okay, he's going to be 32 in September, but I still think you can get three decent seasons out of him. And I say decent, I'm talking like top level. And, you know, £55 million for a PSG is not that much. And he wouldn't be playing as much because he'd be playing in a bloody domestic league that's not the same as the Prem. It's a problem. It's a problem, and it's one that United fear. I mean, United fear the Saudis, but I'm not convinced Bruno wants to go to Saudi. But if these rumours start, I don't think people realise that Bruno Fernandes could well be in the top five players in Europe at the moment. And people are going to laugh at that, but status-wise, he might well be in the top five players in the Premier League, in the world at the moment, because obviously on ability, you're going to talk about people like Yamal and Vinicius Jr., but the numbers he's putting in, I just think that there that a club can just come in and do it. And I don't think Bayern Munich will do it. I don't think Bayern Munich could spend that amount of money on wages, and I don't think they'd spend that much on the transfer fee either. But it's a risk. It's a risk for United, and we cannot afford to lose Bruno Fernandes. I know some people think that we have got to at some point, but we can't afford for this to happen. And also, going into a World Cup as well, does that put him on a platform where people will look at him even more? I think the most important thing with Bruno, and I've said it before, is it just depends what he wants. Now, if he wants to finish his... look, there is this debate around Bruno Fernandes at Manchester United that he will never go down on the level he should go down because of the era he played in. And that's probably a fair argument. There is also this debate that he will retire as a player that didn't win anywhere near as much as he should have done. And if he's aware of those things, they might play on his mind if the right offer comes up. For example, Bruno Fernandes will retire without a Champions League and a major domestic title. He'll never win the league, and he'll never win a Champions League. That is something that might be in Bruno Fernandes's ear. You will retire as a player that never won the league and never won the Champions League. Or will he? Will an option come in from a PSG or somewhere where he can go and win a domestic league and he could go and win a Champions League? Because I don't think he's going to do it at Manchester United. Even if by some miracle Man United get back on top, I don't think we're going to win a Premier League or a Champions League in Bruno Fernandes's career at Man United. So those things might be of interest to him. What I was also told as well is there is a release clause for Bruno Fernandes, and it is £55 million. But if a PSG come forward and say, we'll give you 45 and Bruno wants to go, would United force him to stay? And nobody's ever mentioned that before. And yes, United can say you're not going. But if PSG come forward and say, we can't pay £55 million for a 32-year-old, but we will pay £45 million and we will pay you a wage, and Bruno knocks on the door of United and goes, I want to go to PSG, and United go, yeah, but your release clause is 55 million. And Bruno goes, they're never going to give me that, but I've been a loyal servant. I want to go for 45. What happens then? Do United force him to stay? So there are, you know, even the 55 million might be negotiable. Release clauses aren't always adhered to. The solution is that United need to provide a platform here. I mean, that update sounds a bit negative. That's a reality. There is a positive reality. United need to provide the platform to make him stay. You need to turn the fear and uncertainty into an opportunity. So you need to be going, look, we've qualified for the Champions League. There's an opportunity for us to be in the Champions League for the next 2 or 3 years with you here. Obviously, we know that it's not going to be easy to do that. But look at the players we're bringing in the summer. Look at the ambition we're showing with the manager. And you are the key player in this. That's how you do it. That's how you make him stay. You know, your family's settled here. You're loved at this football club. Look at the manager we're bringing in. Look at the players we're bringing in. You know, we think that we can be competitive in the Champions League, get higher up in the league and make sure we're back in the Champions League. And let's go, you know, we want to win the league in the next 2 or 3 years with you as the captain. We want to try and win the Champions League with you. It sounds preposterous, but that's the project they've got to sell. And that goes back to what I was saying at the start. You can't just be sat there going, we're going to get one decent midfielder in, a kid in the midfield, and a couple of other backups, and we'll see how it goes. You've got to go and deliver the project. That's what you've got to do. And that's why it's interesting, because something came out this morning in relation to Bruno, and it was about the other Fernandes at West Ham. Hold on a minute. Let me just say this, right? Okay, I'm going to call this out, right? There are people in our fan base that have put pictures out of Manu in New York in an inflammatory way. And if they haven't got the balls to admit it, then that's up to them. But when I see people posting on Instagram and stuff, I hope Manu's enjoying his break in New York City, I don't think they're genuinely saying, I hope Mainoo enjoys his break in New York City. I think they just don't have the balls to say, what is Mainoo doing in New York City? Because this happened with Rashford as well. There is a picture of Mainoo at Madison Square Gardens in New York watching the basketball. And some people are trying to stir this up, right? Where's Ugarte? Cunha's in Brazil, isn't he? Where is everybody else? Why are we doing this again? Why do we care about Mainoo being in New York? Most of you, I don't think, do, but some people are trying to stir it up again. We are never going to succeed as a football club if we keep going down that route. We're not playing this weekend. We're off to Dublin next week for a training camp. The Premier League, in its infinite stupidity, decided that 15 Premier League clubs were going to end up not playing a Premier League game for 3.5 weeks. Idiots, right? So you've got players who, because of that, effectively end up with a mid-season break. And yes, getting on a plane to New York is a bit extensive and a bit tiring, but Man United have clearly given players their time off again. Why is Mainoo in New York on the other side of the world having time off? Why is such and such in Brazil? Why is such and such at Centre Parks? That's not the player's issue. That's Man United again. And I don't have a problem with it at all. But we've got to stop scrutinising individual players and what they're doing with their time off, because ultimately, this is not Rashford missing training to go out on the piss in Belfast. This is players doing things that the club have signed off. It's just not a story. But look, we are a community, and I think we do need to hold ourselves accountable to protecting our players for having some time off. Mainoo's not got on a plane. Another player's not gone on a plane and said, up yours, I'm not turning up to training, I'm off to watch the basketball. They've been given that time off. Whether you agree with that time off, that's about the club. I think the club are walking into a silly trap, but that's up to themselves. I think the intensity and the training has dropped off over the last few weeks because we've got so much time off and they don't know what to do with it. Oh, we've only got one game a week. This won't happen next season. So, some people say, let's start preparing them for next season. Other people think, give them a break while they can. I don't think it's that deep, but I certainly don't think there should be an angle of what's Mainoo doing in New York. I think that's incredible to me, and we need to be very careful about that sort of rhetoric. Talking about Rashford, by the way, scored a goal for Barcelona last night. Hansi Flick, after the game, says, I'm very happy with Marcus. He's shown his quality and he scored an important goal. I can't say anything about his future. We have to focus in the matches until the end of the season. I think this is really good, positive news for us that Manchester United do want to move Rashford on. Rashford does want to go to Barcelona, and Rafinha is injured at the moment. So if Rashford can take those opportunities and do well, I think this is really good for United, because the sooner Barcelona make that decision, the better. And if he's playing well, it makes that decision better and quicker. On Schlotterbeck, I think Schlotterbeck would be a very interesting signing for Manchester United, but he had an interview after the game yesterday, and he's basically indicated that he's having talks with Dortmund this week and it shouldn't take much longer before he can make a decision. He said all along, I can imagine staying, but he's got to get those discussions right and we'll see how they develop. So it looks like Schlotterbeck's actually going to extend at Dortmund anyway. But even if he didn't, United wouldn't be going for Schlotterbeck. I think we need to be very, very clear about that they wouldn't. But where I was going to go is Bruno Fernandes is set to recommend Matias Fernandes to Manchester United as a midfield target this summer. This is a story coming out this morning. And I think, look, Bruno Fernandes, I would trust Bruno Fernandes as our director of football over Jason Wilcox, there's no doubt about that. But obviously Bruno Fernandes can't dictate who we sign at Manchester United this summer. But he is a player that you've got to factor in into, like, are these signings going to be agreeable to him? In the sense that, like, if you buy Belaba, he might say, I'm going. If you buy Elliot Anderson, he might say, I'm staying. And I think it goes back to that whole thing, does it? If you buy potential, and Bruno looks at it and goes, this is another project that's going to take years and fail, he might go. If you buy players that are going to improve that team straight away, he might look at it and go, I might stay. I think, as I said last night, one of the biggest things that Man United need to get right is the replacement for Casemiro. Bruno Fernandes, when he walks onto that pitch or he's in that dressing room and he sees Casemiro, will see somebody that he sees as his equal or is maybe superior to him because of what he's achieved in his career. Next season, Bruno doesn't walk out onto that pitch with Casemiro. He probably walks onto that pitch with a kid who has a very difficult season ahead of him and Bruno's got to help him. I think Bruno Fernandes would like to be walking on that pitch with somebody that he feels is ready to go. And I think that's a very important point. And if United aren't going to provide that, then they can't moan if Bruno decides to go. If Bruno decides to go, let me just say this very, very clearly. If Bruno Fernandes leaves Manchester United this summer, that's on Jason Wilcox and the board. That's not on Bruno Fernandes. And I think people need to get that round their head very, very quickly. If Bruno goes, it will be because Man United have failed him. And if Bruno stays, it's because Man United have provided him with a platform that he thinks is worth staying for. So don't get it twisted. If United don't provide the project and Bruno goes, that's not Bruno's fault. That's the club's fault. And if Bruno stays, the club have done the job of providing Bruno with the platform to stay. And that's really important in this decision. And United have to provide that platform. But a lot of people doing a lot of talking about Matheus Fernandes from West Ham in relation to his suitability for Manchester United. So I've just chucked him into our Y-Scout comparison tool and I've put him against Tonali, Anderson, Casemiro and Belaba. So first things foremost, let's start off with a bit of a negative. Passes per 90 from those five players, he is only doing 38 passes per 90, which is only one more than Belaba. Casemiro is 51, Anderson is 60, and Tonali is 48. So his passes per 90 is very, very low as Belaba. Now, the only thing I would say is Belaba plays for Brighton, who are actually a possession-based side, and therefore 37 passes per 90 is abysmal. Fernandes does play for West Ham under Nuno and they do not play a possession-based football. They play counter-attack. So there may be a little bit of context there that he is obviously playing in a team that's not very possession-based. So Belaba is and still has low numbers. Also, I think age has to be an impact here. Tonali, 25. Anderson, 23. Casemiro, 34. Belaba, 22. Fernandes is the youngest at 21. What about his defensive output? Well, successful defensive actions per 90. Tonali is in last place with 7. Belaba is in second to last place with 8. Fernandes would be third place with 8.3. Anderson would be 9 successful defensive actions per 90. And then Casemiro is 12. Aerially, he's the worst of the lot. With Tonali, he's only one aerial duel per 90, which is the same as Tonali, and interceptions per 90, 3.8, which is the same as Belaba. So his defensive output is reasonable. His passing output leaves a little bit to be desired. And look, to be fair, successful attacking actions per 90, he's second place. You've got Belaba with 0.8 successful attacking actions per 90. You've got Casemiro in fourth with 1.1 successful attacking actions per 90. You've then got Tonali in third with 1.7, Fernandes with 1.8 and Anderson with 2.1. And I think that with regards to progressive runs per 90, he's actually number one out of all of them with 1.5. So he's an interesting profile of player, Fernandes. And I said this yesterday, last night I actually said it, that you, the community, deserve some credit because you've been talking about him for a long time. The only downside to Fernandes from West Ham at the moment is his passing game. But is that because West Ham are not a possession-based team? His defensive output is good. His attacking output is good. It's just his passing. But that could be an issue because he's playing in a West Ham side. It's low. His passes per 90 is very low. like belabor, but everything else he's very good. So yeah. But yeah, I mean, Samurai says the whole section makes me really want Anderson. I don't know why some people are sleeping on Anderson. I mean, he's head and shoulders everybody else on everything. Definitely. If we miss out on Anderson, says Vipul, we need Tenali with Gomez as backup and Wharton competing with Mainoo, as Mainoo cannot handle two games a week. What do you think, Mark? Says Vipul. Look, I'm a big fan of Mainoo. The only thing I tentatively agree with the critics on Mainoo is that his physicality and speed are an issue. And can he deal with the Champions League on a Wednesday night and the Premier League on a Saturday every week for a season? He is only 20 and he has had a couple of injuries himself. So I think the only thing I would agree, I think technically Mainoo's a very good player. I still think he's got gears to go through, but physically and speed wise, can he deal with two games a week in the Premier League and the Champions League? And that is a fair question of any 20-year-old. That's a fair question of a 20-year-old Steven Gerrard. That's a fair question of a 20-year-old Paul Scholes. So I do agree with you on that. I mean, this is why for me, signing two midfielders isn't enough, because you've got two midfielders and Mainoo for two spots. One injury, you've got no subs. This is the incredible naivety of only signing two midfielders. You sign two midfielders, you pick two midfielders, you've got one on the bench. If one gets injured, you've got none on the bench. Josh, we haven't missed any super chats. We just haven't read them yet, which we are doing now. Who do you think we would replace Bruno with, says Joey? Well, he's irreplaceable. Factually, he's irreplaceable. I personally think United would not replace him. I think they would move Cunha to 10 and that would be it. I don't think we would replace him. Liao isn't happy at Milan, says Josh. Don't feel like Liao is the right player for Man United. Don't see the queue for Liao that we used to be honest. Andy Atherton with a very generous super chat this morning, probably the biggest of the day. He says, hi, Mark. There are too many ifs, buts and maybes in our squad. Injury-prone players like Martinez, De Ligt, Maguire, Mount. Crap players like Shaw, Delow, Ugarte. Still developing players like Lemons, Heaven, Yoro, Mainoo, Sesko. That leaves Bruno, Mbeumo and Cunha. Andy, look, I think we are working towards a very exciting summer transfer window. But exciting doesn't mean great. You know, you might wake up this morning, if you're celebrating Easter, excited about the Easter eggs you're going to get. You know, your auntie might turn up and instead of a big Maltese Easter egg that she normally gets, she might say, I thought you're too old for it. Here's a couple of quid instead. You never know whether excitement is going to turn to, you know, happiness or disappointment in many areas. So, look, I'm very excited about what's to come. But I'm also very realistic that this club is very capable of turning that excitement into disappointment. But even if we make some exciting decisions this summer, I still don't think it takes away from the vulnerability that everybody can see in the next season. There's less and less people in our fan base now that are just going, if we get the Champions League, that's it. We're all right. We're not. Spurs are in the Champions League a year ago. Newcastle are in the Champions League a year ago. Look at them now. It's papering the cracks. It's an opportunity where you have to take it. And if Man United don't take this opportunity, they will be out of it very, very quickly. And there is, you're right, Andy, a lot of issues in that squad. There are crap players that have probably overachieved. I mean, will Luke Shaw be available for every game next season? Will Harry Maguire be as fit as he has been this season? Will Martinez and De Ligt be able to be playing regularly next season? Will Yoro and Heaven develop more next season? We've spoken about the midfield. Like, that, there's a lot of if, buts and maybes, like you say. Plus, we won't be playing one game a week. And as I said to you last night, under Amorim, the results weren't good enough. But when you look at the results, they were one goal off. There was lots of draws. If we lost the game, it was by one goal. If we won a game, it was by one goal. With Amorim, it was all, you know, it was close, but not close enough. With Carrick, it's not like we're smashing teams. It's still one goal. If we win a game, it's by one goal. If we draw a game, obviously, it's a draw. If we lose a game, it tends to be what by one goal. The margins are fine. There's not a lot of leeway for United to get it wrong this summer. We've done really well over the last few weeks, but the results are tending to be by one goal. There's a massive increase in our load next year. How are we going to deal with that? And as I've said, I can see a situation in October, December, January, March next year where we're going, Mainoo's injured, Maguire's injured, Shaw's injured, De Ligt's injured, the new signing's injured, Ahmad's picked up a knock. I mean, we've been there. We know this can happen. I don't think our fitness department's very good, by the way. Breaking news. I don't think our fitness department's very good. And I don't think that that problem's gone away. I just think even playing one game a week, we've had a lot of injuries, you know. I don't think anybody's studied that. We've been playing one game a week and we've still had loads of injuries. Dorgu's been out for 3 months. Martinez has been out. De Ligt's been out for ages. Maguire's had injuries. Mainoo was out for a month over Christmas. Even Bruno was out with an injury. We've had a lot of injuries this season, considering we're only playing one game a week. 38 games in the Premier League and 2 cup games. We played 40 games this season, our lowest load of games since 19, over 100 years. And we've still picked up injuries. So the challenges of next year are there, definitely. And this is why you need volume, definitely. Don't think PSG buy older players anymore either, says Robert McCormack. I hope you're right, Robert. Martinez replace Casemiro, buy Schlotterbeck and move him up, says Jack. No, I don't think Lisandro Martinez's body can deal with playing centre midfielder after the injuries he's had at 28. Is he 28? Yeah. I mean, look, I think Martinez can do a job there. We saw it against Villa at Christmas, but I don't think he's going to become a holding midfielder at 28 with the injuries that he's got. I just don't see it. I think with Martinez, I don't even know if he's our long-term centre-back. I think we've just got to get him back fit. Nicholas says, I've been away for a week, haven't been able to tune in. Would be a car crash losing Bruno. Good to be back and chat. Happy Easter. Welcome back, mate. And thank you for being a member. Also, Emily's given us another super chat here and says that the results margins may have shifted under Carrick, but performances haven't improved much except for Arsenal and Man City. But the issues and problems areas in the team have not really changed, says Emily Derry. Thank you very much for that. Appreciate it. And I think the results have been fantastic over the last few weeks, definitely. I think it's well known that we played brilliantly against Arsenal and Man City and we haven't played that well since. And the margins in a lot of the games that we're playing have been quite fine. So I think that it doesn't matter who you think the manager should be. It doesn't really matter who you think the signing should be. There is one certainty I can give you about the future of Manchester United. And I can't tell you who the manager's going to be. And I can't tell you who the transfers are going to be. But I can tell you next season is going to be a bloody nightmare to go from no European football and cups to European football and cup competitions and trying to navigate that with a squad that's not used to it and also isn't big enough. And that's where we are at the moment. That can change. That's not a prophecy of doom. That can change, but it has to change. And there's only one set of people who can change that, and that is the owners. Right here, right now, this squad next season capitulates. Anyone going to disagree with that? Right here, right now, this season, with this team, in Europe next year, it falls apart. So 4 signings is not going to be enough when Casemiro's definitely leaving, because that only gives you 3 signings. And somebody else might leave, like Ugarte, so that's 2 signings. And Xerxes is going to leave, so that's 1 signing. So you know what I mean? When you listen to Ferdinand saying 4 signings, you go, but that's not 4 on top of what we've got. That's 4, take away Casemiro, Xerxes, Ugarte. That's 1 signing. We need to add 4 to the number that we've got at the moment. So if Xerxes, Casemiro and Ugarte go, you need 7. That's what you need. Because we need volume. We definitely need volume. And if you did watch that Arsenal game yesterday, look, it's embarrassing for them to lose to Southampton. But you look at their squad and you look at their bench, there's a hell of a lot of players missing. And when it gets to this time of the season, we've seen it over the last few years. How many times have we been in March and April and May over the last 7 years and had loads of injuries? I mean, can you remember that Rangnick interim? Can't remember when Rangnick was interim, the amount of injuries we had. It was incredible. Can you remember the season when we won the Europa League with Mourinho? The amount of injuries we had in April was incredible. I mean, we literally in the final had Eric Bailly, Zlatan and Luke Shaw on crutches. Learn from your fucking history, for God's sake. Learn from your fucking history. Like, over the last few years, we've had injury crises in March, April and May, numerous years. We have to prepare for that for next season. We have to prepare for the inevitability of what is to come. But I think United will go like this. They'll go and hide under the desk and say, let's hope it's going to be okay. Finally, I did see something this morning that Sir Jim Radcliffe is targeting at least 100 million in player sales as he looks to offload surplus talent at Manchester United. A minimum of 8 senior players are expected to depart the club at the end of the season. Now, this is the sort of stuff that certain people in our fan base run for the tissues because they get excited. But does that not go hand in hand with what I've just said? If you raise £100 million by removing 8 players, how many of those 8 players are part of the first team squad today? Obviously, Rashford's not, Rasmus isn't, but £100 million and you remove 8 players, how are they all being replaced? This is not now about money. This is about volume. If you get rid of 8 players and you bring in 2 £50 million players, how does that help me with the squad? We have to have a squad as much as we have to have quantity. We absolutely have to. And I saw something the other day about the money we're going to save from wages from people leaving. And it's laughable that people, you know, get excited about that. We're going to save 350 grand a week by Casemiro going, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with that money? Because in my mind, that 350 grand a week losing Casemiro, a vast amount of it should be going on a replacement. So if Casemiro's going on 350 grand a week, Tonali should be coming in on 250. But no, pass me the tissues. We're going to save 350 grand a week. Whoa. And I'm like, no, why are some of our fans so obsessed with accountancy? We should never be celebrating saving money. We should be reinvesting that money. If you save 350 grand a week on Casemiro, then spend a massive amount of it on somebody that's better than him. Don't go, I've saved 350 grand a week and I bought Belabor and he's only on 100. That's a quarter of a million a week saved. This is football. This is football. You've got to go and get the best. Last time we re-rotated, we lost to Grimsby, says Joey. And your point is? Are you competing for moron of the day? Because I thought I'd already given that out. I don't even know what you're talking about, Joey. Last time we rotated, we lost to Grimsby. So what you're saying, we should never rotate? I don't even know. I don't know what to do with that, Joey. We used to have likes of O'Shea, Brown, May, Neville, Blomqvist, quality squad players. So Steve, I think that we need to bring in players now that are first team players. I've said this before, and I don't know whether people agree with me, but I do not want Manchester United to sign bench players. I don't see the point. When Manchester City buy Semenyo and Gehi, they're first team players. So somebody goes to the bench. I do not want to buy understudies. I do not want to buy backups. I want to buy first team players. So every player I buy, in my mind, is challenging for a first team spot. I don't see the point in backup players. Backup players leads to low performance. The three midfielders we should sign should be capable of starting. If you buy João Gomes as your third midfielder, he's still capable of starting. If you buy Anderson and Waterton, they're capable of starting. If you buy Diamande, they're capable of starting. If you buy Trufford, they're capable of signing. That's five signings there that are capable of starting. If you buy Schlotterbeck, he's capable of starting. We need to buy. That's how we'll get better. Too many people want to buy bench players because they go, oh, what'll happen to Maino if we buy Anderson and Wharton? I don't care. Maybe Wharton will go on the bench and Maino will start. But we need competition for places, absolutely. Okay, thanks everyone for watching. We have got a Sunday Night Live show tonight at 8 o'clock. Looking forward to that. I have just put up an Arsenal in crisis video, by the way. I didn't do a video last night on Arsenal. I've done it now. So if you want to check that, the link is in the live chat, or just get yourself over to That's Football. Thank you, everybody, for watching this morning. Stay safe. Take care. Happy Easter. I'm off to do an Easter egg hunt now, and I'll speak to you all in a bit. Take care.